Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kim Parr. This morning, my guest is Dan Hendricks, who's CEO with Interface. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year to you. Good to talk to you.
Same to you.
All right. So I wanted to catch up with you. We ran the news this week that you guys had changed your ticker symbol, which I think is really pretty cool because the other one was kind of complicated. It was IFSIA, and now it's really simple. It's TILE, T-I-L-E, right?
That's right.
Tell me how that came about.
If you go back, you know, Interface went public in 1983, and we had two classes of stock. We had an A stock and a B stock. So at the time, you had to designate what was trading, and the B stock was not publicly traded, so it was called Interface Flooring Systems.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you got the IFSIA.
Okay.
A.
Mm-hmm.
But when the two classes of stock went away, it gave us the opportunity to change our ticker symbol. And it was pretty exciting to go public at $50 million in 1983. You know, we introduced or pioneered carpet tile in 1973. So 10 years later, Interface goes public. But we also acquired a company called Hugo, who invented carpet tile in the 50s.
Right.
So our heritage is about inventing carpet tile, and we are probably the only company that is 100% dedicated to carpet tile.
Yeah.
We're a one-trick pony, so to speak, trying to cover every floor in the world with carpet tile.
Mm-hmm.
And felt like it was very appropriate to rename our companies with the symbol TILE and change it from IFSIA. So it was exciting times. We turned 40 this year, so that was apropos, too. So we went public at 10 years, and at 40 years, we're actually changing our symbol to TILE.
Yeah. Actually, you couldn't have done this last year because you own Bentley Prince Street, and they're also
True.
In the Broadland business.
True.
And it's still the same exchange. Nothing changes there, right?
It's still NASDAQ. We're actually going to go ring the bell on Friday on NASDAQ to bring in the new symbol and celebrate with our employees.
All right. I also noticed that we ran a story recently of you naming a new board member, Andrew Kogan. He's an officer, I guess, with an office furniture company, right?
Yeah, he is the CEO of Knoll.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the CEO for about 10 years. He became the CEO at the age of 40. 2001, about the same time I became the CEO of Interface, 2001. He's in the office furniture, and Knoll is design leaders as well in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted a sitting CEO on our board of a public company, and I actually am on a board with Andrew on American Woodmark, and found him to be a very bright CEO that understands our industry and are dealing with the same issues that we're dealing with A&D and users. And it was a great fit for Interface to add Andrew to the board, and we're very happy that Andrew agreed to join our board.
Yeah. Is that an addition, or did somebody roll off the board?
We had Tom Oliver roll off, and so we were replacing Tom Oliver. He actually ran IHG.
Okay.
And he was on our board since 1995, but he rolled off last year.
Now, I just was doing some global travel myself. I was at Domatex, and we didn't see you guys there. You probably had some people there, but I did hear a lot about you. Last year, we talked a lot about the fact that you had a massive fire in your Australian manufacturing plant. So now you're rebuilding that, and I think your plans are to have that up and running sometime this year, right?
Yeah, we found a site. We've actually have ordered the equipment, and we're in the process of rebuilding that plant. We've retained a lot of our workforce. So from a standpoint of looking for skilled people, we're building the plant within about 30 kilometers of Picton, the old site, closer towards Sydney. And we expect to be up and running sometime in the fourth quarter. We are supplying product into the Australian market from China and from Thailand and the U.S., and we've got the import model that is working today. That's our biggest market share that we have in the world, actually, is the Australian market. And that's our second largest market, and we felt like we had to be local and be next to our customer and provide them with great quality products, make the order custom, and service them in the lead times that they require. We made a decision to rebuild the plant, and we're well underway to do that, hopefully by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm. Why did you change the site?
Because it took a shorter lead time to build it in an existing building. We found a building that fit our requirements.
Okay.
We don't have to go through the construction time of demolition, getting all the permits to build the building, and then build the building. It cut off probably about 6 months in lead time by moving to a different site.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to keep it as close to our employee base as we could.
Okay, and as I think about, I haven't talked to you in a while, as I think about Interface and some things that are happening, one of the things that's been very aggressive for you guys has been your going direct in the rug market, targeting somewhat the upscale residential market. Talk about where that stands today.
Yeah, we started a few years ago trying to create a catalog web business, and about 3 years ago we decided that we needed to get directly with the customer. And so we built our first store in Chicago, and we call it Floor Store, F-L-O-R Store. And we had a lot of success in the Chicago market. A couple things happen when you have a store in a major market like that. People can actually, they know about you online or get a catalog, they can actually go see the product. And we closed the sale better with a store in a market versus a store not in a market. We have built it out now where we're in 18 markets. We have 18 floor stores around the United States. Actually, we have 17, and we have our first international one in Toronto.
Okay.
You know, we're going to build that footprint out, continue to build out nationally. I'm looking for great things to happen around the Floor brand and in the consumer market, not just rugs and not just high-end, but there is a mass market that I think the Floor product actually fits, and I think we can do some wall-to-wall, too. And so we're going after a consumer market in the United States to sort of change the mindset and have the consumer participate in the design process, design your own floor, if you will. And I'm really excited about the prospects of our consumer brand Floor. And then we look at eventually taking it internationally. If it works in New York City, it'll work in London, Shanghai, and Thailand, and in major markets like Bangkok. So I'm really excited about the prospects of the consumer business. And the fact that you get some crossover commercial, too, with this high-end brand called Floor.
You know, one of the things that I think you've proven, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, you did go out initially, as you said, with catalogs. You know, that's looking at a picture, very similar to looking at something on a screen. And then you open some stores, and you notice something. You notice you were selling more product. So I guess that proves that flooring is a kinetic product. It is something you actually need to see to buy. I think that reinforces some of those beliefs, doesn't it?
It does, but I also believe that the new generation will buy a lot more things off the web and try it and look at it. So this Generation X, if you will, I think they're a lot more web-friendly. So I think that we're going to be able to drive the web business, and it will help with the Floor store being in a certain market. But I think the web side of our business, we can actually grow as well. I'm excited about that prospect.
All right, we're about to run out of time. Just one quick question. Just looking to 2013, and do you think things are going to be pretty good next year?
I wish I had that crystal ball. I could tell you that, but I will tell you I feel better about 2013 than I did 12. I think the European has yet to solve its issues, but it doesn't seem like we're going to see the meltdown in the euro go away. I think it will be a very tough market in 2013. I think the U.S. has a chance to have some slow growth if our Congress can figure out the fiscal cliff and figure out what we're going to do around fiscal policy. And if that gets figured out in the right way, I think that the America's market has an opportunity to be positive versus having a negative commercial market. And then I think the emerging markets, to me, are always exciting for us. I mean, Asia looks like, you know, if you can live with 5 GDP around those markets and 8 in China, that's a pretty good marketplace to actually go participate in.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm looking for hopefully a better year than in 13 and 12, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, great, Dan. Well, it's good to spend time with you again. I've been talking to Dan Hendricks, who's CEO with Interface, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.